Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Around the world today, it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned, because I have plenty of that stuff. And today we have on the boards the wonderful Bobby. How are you today?
Hello, doing fine. How are you?
A little bit cooler than last week.
A little bit.
So that's a good thing. So Connecting Caregivers is a show where you can find help and hope. And with me now on the line is my best friend and my co-host and sidekick, not psychic, Lynn Thornley.
Hi, I'm not a very good co-host, am I?
Yes, you are.
You're been a long time since I've been there, but another month or so and I will be back.
Yes, I can't wait. So how are your eyes doing?
Oh, same. I just go back again and we'll see what we can do. But I heard something interesting.
What?
They said to me, are you okay with me putting drops in it? And I went, yeah, no problem. And I said, it's a good thing it's not my husband. I said, better it's not my cousin Gary, because his eyes close so tight when you come near him.
Yeah.
And she said to me, you know, she said, I thought men were real sissies. She said, but somebody told me that men, if they haven't worn contact lenses,
yeah,
they never go near their eyes. They don't put makeup on. They don't do any of that.
Right.
So that's why they can't stand having...
Because it's foreign to them. Women are always poking around with their eyes with something.
Exactly. So I guess we can't call them sissies, but I don't know.
Anyway. I don't know. I think a lot of men that are listening to this show right now is like, damn, that's the truth.
I guess, you know, it never dawned on me. I just thought, why? What is the big deal? Like, some people, if you just go near their eyes, I mean, it's like shutter comes down.
Yeah.
Oh, another piece of good news.
We're
out of the cone of the hurricane Laura.
Yes, thank you, God. We have enough to deal with COVID. We don't need hurricanes.
I know. Oh, and another thing they said, you know, everybody's a little bit down right now. You know, you have your moments.
Yeah.
They said, make yourself a big smile on your face. And while your muscles are in that position, you can't be sad, and it's true. You just, if you smile, just give yourself a big smile. It's like,
yeah.
Oh. It lifts it.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm going around like a Cheshire cat.
All right, I'll come smile at you later.
Oh, perfect. All right, have a great show. And, oh, the listeners.
Yeah, we have our newest listeners. We have Judy from Treasure Island.
Ooh.
And Sammy from Sarasota. And Jillian from the United Kingdom. So
welcome. Wow,
welcome new listeners.
Okay.
Always room around the caregiver table. All right, I'll see you later.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Love you. Before we hear from our special guests, there's just one thing I want to say today is, you know, I was speaking with some caregivers this week, and one of the caregivers said to me, I feel weak. I feel weak. I don't feel like I'm doing a good job. Caregivers, I just want to let you know, you are not weak. You are not weak. You just don't always have all the proper tools. And that's why we have Connecting Caregivers Radio. And that's why I have my website and then my Tuesday tips. And myself and a ton of other professionals are out there to help you. So you're not weak. The only time you're weak is when you don't ask or accept any help. But when you do ask and accept for help, you're strong. And you will just become stronger because I'm sure you've heard the expression, when you know better, you do better. So our special guest that we have, our first guest on the show today, is Deb Bean and Brenda and Mark Roberts. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Joyful and grateful.
All right.
So these people that are on the phone on the line right now are calling from Michigan. Friends of mine, Maureen Rulison and Brian LeBlanc from We Are Dementia Strong, recently got this fabulous service dog, Bella, who I've met a couple of times. And they were telling me all about Deb, who trained Bella, and their friends Brenda and Mark, that also had a service dog, Sophie, for about 2 years. So I said, we need to have them on the show because people need to know about this.
Yes, I totally agree. I didn't, when I started training, I didn't know that there was not that much publicity about dogs or people with dementia and service dogs for that.
Yeah, well, you know what? A lot is just coming out about dementia now. And when I first started doing this, like 15 years ago, people weren't even talking about caregiving and dementia or anything.
Nope. And when you heard dementia, you always thought of really old people in nursing homes. And you
right.
just didn't hear dementia or Alzheimer's or anything like that. And now that people are 40 or 35 years old are getting it.
They're getting it, plus the older people that are getting it are living longer. I mean,
yeah.
We're living to 100 years old. That you know, when I was a kid, you were lucky if you made it to 65.
Yep, that's true. I mean, they just showed a woman on TV the other day that was 120.
Wow. Wow. I don't know if I want to be that old, but we'll see. So, Mark, I understand you have been diagnosed with dementia. So can you tell me what type of dementia you're living with?
I'm living with vascular dementia,
mm-hmm.
And it's been 2014 is when I was diagnosed.
Wow.
So, and vascular, well, with mine is a lot of arteries are being blocked,
mm-hmm.
and so my scan that I looked at, it was just a bunch of umpteen zillion little dots all over the screen. So, but it has affected me a great deal.
Well, you know, for the people that are listening, some people may not know how many different kinds of dementia there are, because a lot of people think it's just Alzheimer's. And I always try to explain to people that dementia is ice cream and Alzheimer's and vascular and whatever are just flavors.
Right.
Because I think they can kind of understand that.
And I think that with naming the different types of dementia, we narrow down certain functions of the brain.
Right.
And we know where to go or what to do. Now, you know, many people that teach or train, they know where to go as far as words or what type of training you need to progress and then be able to sustain yourself.
Well, you know, it's just like if you went to the doctor and the doctor said you have cancer, you'd say, what kind of cancer? Where is it? How do we treat it? You know, we need to do that with dementia.
That's right.
Because some people go to the doctor and the doctor says, your loved one has dementia. Here's some pills. Come back. And nothing else.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's definitely more the case than not the case. And, you know, we frequently, I always say if we had a quarter for every time somebody asked us what's the difference between dementia and Alzheimer's, we'd be rich.
Oh, yeah, me too.
yeah, right? You know?
So, yeah.
So it's very important. And our friends who are living with dementia, you know, I'll pretty much tell them it's very important to know what type of dementia that you're living with. And,
right.
And then it helps us as a care partner, too, in terms of knowing our approach and how to interact with the person.
Yeah, so I know, Brenda, you wanted to mention something a little bit about care partners. I totally agree with the term care partner, but I've been doing this for such a long time as caregivers, and I had a hard time even making people realize that they were caregivers or care partners.
right. Well, you know.
So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, well, it didn't strike me so hard until the very first time Mark and I were in a setting of people living with dementia and their spouses, and we were doing a research project, and the researcher said something about Brenda was Mark's caregiver, and all of a sudden in this public forum, I was referred to as his caregiver, and I felt bad for Mark because I felt like it was like saying that...
Like he needed a nurse.
Yeah, like he needed a babysitter.
Right.
And so so I spoke up and I said, we're care partners,
mm-hmm.
because we've been care partners. You know, we've been married how many years, Mark?
He 43.
He's better at remembering how long we've been married than I am. And so, you know, we've been care partners for 43 years. He's cared for me for 43 years. I've cared for him. It's, you know, and so it's different, but, you know, in terms of our care partnering.
Yes,
but,
it's interesting.
So, yeah, so Linda, the one thing that I did learn, this is kind of off our, you know, service dog topic, but, you know, I gave voice to the whole thing about care partner.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, you need to be careful. But it took me a little while to really make sure that I let Mark, yes, take care of me too.
Because yeah, you do. You're partners. You're life partners.
Right.
You're life partners, and just so happens he's also living with dementia.
Right. Right. And so just even little things that I just, you know, like I drink iced tea all the time. So he, you know, always brings me an iced tea
mm-hmm.
or carry my lawn chair. I mean,
yeah.
those things, you know, I mean, that, so I've learned to enjoy and let him take care of me too.
That's fabulous. So let's get back to the service dog. So
yeah, let's talk about Sophie.
How did it happen? Tell me the whole story.
Well, Mark, how did you first hear about a service dog for dementia? Do you remember?
We were at a convention in Georgia. That would have been maybe 4 years ago. And there was a lady there that she has dementia, but I can't think what kind it is. But
okay.
She had the dog because she couldn't recognize her husband anymore. That's what she was explaining to me. And so if she wanted her husband, she'd have to have the dog take her to her husband, or if they were in a store, the same thing, because she would not recognize her husband at all.
Wow.
Since then, he does a few more things for her because she has gotten worse with her dementia.
Mm-hmm.
But that when she did that, I started looking at a lot of the other people that were there and in the discussions, some of the difficulties of getting around and the attitudes and the way they were facing dementia, that wasn't a real happy or loving thing.
Right.
And I've raised dogs since I was a little kid and trained them for hunting. And so I told her, yeah, I told Brenda, I said, you know, I'd really like to have a small dog
okay.
that could sit on my lap and be there with me all the time.
Well, there's that constant companionship. There's that feeling of you feel safe with her.
Absolutely.
I think that's really important.
Right. And it takes away my anxiety.
Right. Right.
So, and it
gives you some purpose,
just my
too.
Best bud, that's all. I say, you know, I love her to death.
Yeah, and you still have some purpose because you need to walk her, you need to take care
right.
of her. So it gives you something also.
Right.
So how Absolutely. Did you guys find Deb?
Well, we had met Deb when our children were young, and we took a dog training class. And so Mark came home and he says, oh, I want a service dog. And of course, you know, I rolled my eyes like, yeah, right. You know, and he's like, no, I'd like a dog like Truthful has, and it's with me 24/7. I'm like, yeah, whatever. And so I wasn't real keen on the idea, but we live with our adult daughter, and she wasn't crazy about the idea of getting another dog either. But then our other daughter, who doesn't live with us, got a dog, and Mark was dog sitting, and we saw, oh my gosh, the difference it made to him. So finally broke down and said, okay. And so we did some research on training your own service dog, because in the United States, there aren't very many places you can get dementia service dogs. And, you know, they've got
a price
tag.
Yeah, this is the first I've ever heard of it.
Right, yeah. And they have a price tag of, you know, $40,000.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, you do fundraising and help and stuff. And so I thought, well, let's try it. You know, what do we have to
exactly.
do?
Exactly.
So we read some books about training your own service dog. And then we had met Deb, like I said, years ago when our kids were little, and we took them to a dog training class. And so what I found really, really amazing is that I called Deb and I asked her if she would help us train a dog, and it's with a guy living with dementia, a dementia service dog. And, you know, she was totally on board from day one and didn't blink an eye at working with a person living with dementia. And, hey, Deb, now we're like, if it goes 2 or 3 days without seeing each other, that seems strange, Deb.
Well,
I totally agree.
And, Deb, previous to this, you trained service dogs for people with disabilities, right?
Yeah, I trained dogs for people like had epilepsy or people that was in a wheelchair for the dog would learn to walk beside of them or pick things up that they dropped or go get something that they needed. But I had never trained dementia dogs. In fact, I had never heard of a dementia dog. I'd heard of all these, because I've trained for over 30 years. And just to train like obedience dogs and for competition and dogs for show.
So was your first thought, oh no, or I can take the challenge?
I said I can take the challenge.
Yeah,
Brendan and Mark are super great people, and so we hit it off right away, and that was a plus and everything because we all became really, really super good friends, and training the dog, she's like a prodigy, and they work so good with the dog. And, I mean, actually, it's been pretty easy for me because they work so good with me and the dog.
So how long does it take to train a dog?
On an average for dementia, Sophie's about 2. We started at 9 weeks. And some things are always like a work in progress because they are a dog.
Right.
But on an average of a basic obedience, you can get a dog trained like in 6 months. But to do some of the things that Sophie did, she is not quite 2 yet, but like her to, she finds Mark. We can go anywhere. We can go to parks. We can go to fairgrounds. We can go anywhere. Mark will lay a track and round buildings and everything, and she can find him anywhere, in a store or anything.
That's so fabulous. That gives you so much more freedom.
Yep, and one of the hardest things I found that I was going to train, I was reading an article about a person with dementia, and he had fallen asleep, so the family thought they could run to the store real quick. And so when they came back, he was gone. So they had the police and everybody out walking for him for 7 hours.
Oh, God.
All of a sudden, they hear a noise. He was in the closet. He had woke up. He didn't know where he was at. He didn't know anything was going on. He was scared to death. And so to train a dog, I thought would be the hardest challenge because their scent is all over in the house. I mean, they're in their chair, the bed, the table. And so if a person does wander off, and I know that I've heard it happens quite a bit with older people. They just kind of wander off into the house and they don't know where they're at. And so Sophie is such a good tracking dog that I had Mark go into a closet, and so I took her outside and I brought her back in, and the cue for her is find Pa.
Okay.
And so the first thing she did was run in and ran to his chair. Well, he's not there.
Right.
She's looking very confused. So I got her all excited and I said, come on, find Pa. And you could see all of a sudden her nose went up in the air.
She started picking
up the freshest particles of his scent. And then she started working. She started running, and she ran right to the closet. And I didn't teach her this. She did this on her own, but she smelled underneath the door, and she jumped up on her back legs, and she pushed that door open.
It's like Wonder Dog.
Yeah.
Yes, we call her Sophie the Wonder Dog, and we always tell people, do you wonder what a service dog does for a person with dementia? And so we call her Sophie the Wonder Dog. But
that's funny. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And in fact, I got her at Halloween a Wonder Dog costume. So when we used to do face-to-face stuff, I could put her in her Wonder Dog.
Right.
But Linda, people wondering, I don't know that we mentioned, especially a tracking dog, you know, you might think, oh, you know, in my mind, it, you know, when I grew up, service dogs were St. Bernards or, you know,
right.
or his German Shepherds.
Exactly.
Or a big,
big, huge dog.
Sophie, yeah. And Sophie is a little white, fluffy Bajan Frise.
Oh, she's gorgeous. You know, that photo you sent me, it's on Facebook. It'll be on my YouTube and everything. She's gorgeous.
Right?
She's so adorable.
Who would think this little white fluffy thing could track you all over, huh?
So
she can find you anywhere.
So yeah, what does it cost typically to have a service dog, to get a service dog?
Oh yeah, that's the $40,000 price tag typically to get a trained. And you know, the other thing is my understanding, and I'm just talking from my limited understanding. My understanding is that you know, usually get the dog placed with you when they're about 2 years old, which, you know, would be about us getting Sophie
right.
now. And we look at what Sophie has done for our life in terms of Mark has benefit to it. I have benefit
right.
from Sophie. But as a couple, it gave us a non-dementia focus of something else.
Yes.
What I would love to share about with Deb, our paths would have, other than, you know, a dog training class with our children, our paths and our worlds would have never crossed. And it struck me when Deb said, we've introduced her to the dementia world, and she's introduced us to the dog world. So mm-hmm. before COVID, we had started going to dog shows and entering Sophie and dog obedience, and something we'd never been to a dog show. And so
yeah.
it was something new and fun. And that we hadn't experienced, but Deb does it like every weekend. And then Deb started coming to some of our speaking engagements and conferences related to dementia,
mm-hmm.
and she hadn't done that before. And so
we all learn.
Kind of like, right?
So takes
it was
a team.
So fun. And now, yeah. But I want to tell my favorite thing, if it's okay, Linda.
All right, because then we have to get out of here soon. So tell me your favorite thing.
Okay. All right, I'll tell you my favorite thing that Sophie does for Mark, and that is, at 8:30 every night, Mark needs to take a shot, and Alexa goes off and sets an alarm, goes beep, and says, Sophie, go get it. Sophie takes a dive, runs to the bathroom, opens the cupboard door, gets Mark's medicine out for him, runs it into wherever he is. He takes the shot, gives it back to her, and she goes back and puts it in the cupboard.
That's like so unbelievable. That is just so very cool.
Yep.
So I wish I had more time with you guys. We'll talk again another time. I'm going to put all your information on my website and on the show. But what is the last thing you want to say to our care partners?
One thing I would like to say is, if anybody is interested, I just got a litter of six puppies.
Aww.
And they're going to be little. They're a Shih Tzu. The mother is Shih Tzu Poodle. The dad is Jack Russell. So they'll probably be about 10 pounds, 12 pounds. They're 9 weeks old right now. They are cute. They have great personalities.
Wow.
And if anybody is interested in them, I sell them for $500. And then if they want more, they're already learning to sit. They know their name. They walk on a leash. They're starting to do a down. Training them to do a down. Mm-hmm. I sell them for $500, and if they want to go on Zoom and take lessons for a couple weeks, then I charge $150. I'm not at first. I'm going out for $40,000 or anything like that. I just
that is absolutely fabulous. That is so
fabulous. $500 pays for like the getting them spayed, their shots, getting them warm, their food, and getting them microchipped. So I'm not making any money on this, really. So if anybody is interested, I do have six little male puppies that
Fabulous.
A person gave to me.
All right, I'll put them in touch with you. Thanks so much for being with me today, all of you. I'm sure
thank
we'll
you.
Continue the conversation at other time.
Okay, well, thank you for having me.
Have a delicious day.
Yeah, you have a delicious day.
Thanks. And now it's time to hear from our wonderful partners, because you know the deal. If you don't hear from them, you don't hear from me. So stand by.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Is the fear of falling keeping you from doing the things you love? Do you suffer from diabetic neuropathy or plantar fasciitis? VoxLife can help. Whether you're caring for someone you love or being cared for, VoxLife wearable neurotech helps your body reach its full potential. Proven to reduce symptoms of diabetic neuropathy and plantar fasciitis, VoxLife also reduces the risk of falling in adults over the age of 55 by 8 times. VoxLife is a safe, simple, drug-free solution that optimizes your neurology. The biggest breakthrough in wellness in 50 years. VoxLife offers a 30-day money-back guarantee. You can't afford not to try it. To learn more about VoxLife, go to www.voxlife.com/caregivers. That's www.voxlife.com/caregivers. They help my parents and they can help yours too.
I see trees of green,
red roses too.
I see them blue
for me and you, and I think to myself,
what a wonderful world.
Okay, caregivers, now it's time for the caregiver affirmation. Take a minute, take a deep breath, sit down, close your eyes if possible, and just listen to these words. I know on my journey there is help and hope. I affirm that I am a good caregiver, that I try my best each day, and I recognize that I deserve to have my own needs met just as much as those for whom I care. I promise I will not allow myself to be consumed by my caregiving role, and I will set aside time in my busy schedule just for me. I am mindful of the other caregivers in my life, and I will let them know that I appreciate their efforts. I am grateful for the people that walk beside me. I will take good care of my own health physically and spiritually, drink enough water, eat quality foods, allow for time to rest and to exercise, laugh often, if only at myself, and seek medical attention for my own health concerns. I am who I am, and I allow others to be who they are. Today I will add one item to my assisting angels list. Then if someone calls to say, "Let me know if there's something I can do," I will be ready to accept their offer and provide them with the opportunity to assist me. It is an honor to be of service of others, and I will not deny my friends and family this honor. Okay, think about it, caregivers.
And you know, my PS to that would be, and maybe you need to get a service dog, because that's someone else that can help both care partners, the person living with dementia and the care partner. So think about that. So our next guest is on the line. Hi, Jack.
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for having me.
So glad you're here today. So Jack is the vice president of homeowner and volunteer programs with Habitat for Humanity. I love Habitat for Humanity. I haven't worked on a house in a while, but a few years back I learned how to vinyl side. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, sounds good.
So I'm so glad that you're here with us today. And I think with everything that's going on with the COVID, people are thinking maybe Habitat's not working.
No, that couldn't be farther from the truth. Now, we definitely had to change tactics a little bit. One of those tactics, you know, we're volunteer-driven. That's one of the best things about Habitat is you get to go out and help people change their lives by building them a structure that will turn into a home where they can raise their families or take care of people for the rest of their lives. We've had to postpone the volunteer portions throughout the end of the year. However, we still have 12, 13 homes under construction at any given time. We have not slowed down. We've just modified the way that we're actually doing it.
Which is fabulous, and that's what we all have to do. We just had to find a new way.
Exactly.
So I want you to explain to our listeners that don't know too much about Habitat. They think about Habitat, they build a house. I don't think a lot of people know the details, and I know that a lot of people in the past that have received Habitat homes are caregivers. Are people that are caring for people all day long and then going home and taking care of their own family and just making ends meet. So when a person gets a Habitat home, do they actually own the home and the land, or how does that go?
Yes, when they purchase a Habitat home, they're purchasing the structure, they own the property that it sits on. And as people come into the program, part of the partnership is that we offer them a selection of lots. Now, they don't go out and actually pick the lot that they want us to build on, and then we purchase the lot. That's not how it works. You know, we have a team that actually goes out and finds affordable properties in areas that we can build, nice, safe areas, and then we match them with the family.
Right.
Once they go to closing, they actually purchase the home, and they purchase the property that it sits on. So it's something they can pass on to their children. It stays in the family. It's considered generational wealth, and it starts with just simply asking the question, do I qualify?
Yeah, and someone that maybe in their lifetime never thought they could, you know, and now they could take advantage of that and have that generational wealth for their future.
Exactly.
So are they actually free, or what's the deal? How do I know the homeowner helps work on the house, so give us the scoop.
Right. So one of the very popular misconceptions, obviously you just covered, is that they don't own the land. They do own the land once they go to closing. And the second one is that the houses are free. Absolutely furthest from the truth. The people that are in our program are very hardworking. A majority of them are caregivers. They work in senior living facilities. They work in hospitals.
Homes,
they support those facilities. So, you know, when they come to the program, the benefits of the Habitat for Humanity program is that it's a 0% interest mortgage. That's what makes it affordable.
Right.
So when they come into the program, they don't have to have perfect credit. They just have to have reasonably good credit. And we work with them through the program to get them to where they need to be.
Yeah, it's a whole package. It's not just like, here's a house.
Right, right.
And
there's 20 homeownership classes. It's
20?
It's challenging.
Did you say 20?
20, yes, ma'am.
That's fabulous. That's absolutely fabulous. Because you know what? Everybody that buys a new home should have some classes, because you know, it's a lot to learn. So
that's correct. They do learn everything from home maintenance. We've enacted a leadership class because you know, leadership has many, many forms. You know, everything that goes into being a good family unit is part of that as well.
And are they working on their own home?
Normally, that would be the case. Right now, because of COVID, we have restricted anybody from taking part on the homes. But that is one of the main perks of Habitat for Humanity. The homeowners actually have the opportunity to build their house and then pass on to their family, look, I built this house with my bare hands.
Yeah.
Not along with volunteers and staff members, but yeah, it's great.
Well, you don't want a handout, you want a hand up.
Perfect. Very well said. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I think that makes a big... And somebody told me at one time that actually in the foundation of some of the houses, they were putting Bibles. And I thought, how cool is that? For that to be part of the foundation of your home.
Yes, ma'am. You know, that's an option that the families have. If they're a religious family, you know, we're a Christian-based organization, but that doesn't mean that the people in our program have any religious affiliation at all. But if they do, that's you know, something they can do.
Right.
Matter of fact, the key to the city of Clearwater is in the foundation of one of our homes in Clearwater. It's pretty unique. Very
special. That's cool. That's very cool. Because every home has a history. You know, when you move into the home, it's now your history. Your future. I lived in a house in New York for 20 years. It was a 100-year-old house, and I just saw a photo of it on Facebook the other day, and it was from a granddaughter of the original person that built the house. And I thought, wow, I was part of that history of that house. You know, it was very cool.
That's so, right, and that will never change.
No, never. So how can people apply? How can they get information? What do they need to do?
So the first step is to go to the Habitat for Humanity website. Now, I know that you have listeners all over the place. I heard you have one from the United Kingdom today, and yes, we do have Habitat affiliates in the United Kingdom. So here in Pinellas County, you know, we cover Pinellas and West Pasco.
Right.
So if they go to our specific website, at the top of the page is an apply button. That will provide them all the information they could possibly want to know about the Habitat program. And at the end of that is a link where they can sign up for a pre-application session where they actually sit down at home. I call them, and we go through their situation because it's not a cookie-cutter program. Every situation is unique and special and has special needs attached to it, and we address each one of those things. If they qualify, great. We move on to the next step. If they don't, we come up with a plan. Nobody leaves empty-handed. Even if they make too much money for the program, we know of other agencies,
services,
and organizations that can help them as well. So nobody leaves at the end.
And you can teach somebody how to bring up their credit and do that kind of stuff too, right?
Absolutely. We'll look at their credit report once we get to that portion and let them know where they stand. This is what you need to fix, and this is how you can do it. These are the resources you can take.
Because I find lots of times people don't apply for things because they just find it daunting. But to actually have someone that's going to guide them through that process... because sometimes they'll look at a big application like that and they'll be like, I can't do that. I'm done. You know what I mean?
I absolutely do. You know, you don't have to have a family of any kind. We have single people in our program. You know, our vision is a world where everyone has a decent place to live. Everyone. So it could be a single person. We are currently building a house for a mom with five children. It's a household of six.
Wow.
And there are some special needs children in that family as well. And she is able to do this on her own. So the program is challenging, but it's not difficult. So, and that's, it's designed to be that way. It's something that you really hone in, focus on, and something you never forget for the rest of your life. And
no.
That's the way it's designed to be. We produce good homeowners.
Well, you know what it is? Life is a challenge. But if you have somebody to hold your hand on along the way... For whatever it is, it makes the world a difference.
Yeah, absolutely right. One of the most courageous things you can possibly do is take that challenging step and say, look, I'm going to do this for my household, for my family, for my situation. And just sitting down, you know, with me it can be, you know, daunting, like you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not an easy thing to commit to. But once you do, home ownership is life-changing.
Oh, definitely, because you know what? Some of these people come from generations of families never owning their own home. You know,
right.
Some even homeless. Or
right.
People that have only lived in a house with their relatives or something like that. Now, to have that opportunity, it changes their lives, but it also changes the next generation. It changes your children.
You know, it's so funny that you say that. I just had an application session and she actually received the full application. We're going to build her a house. She grew up in a Habitat home, and you know, she's taking the next step. She's very young, and she is going to have this home. We're going to build it for her, and you know, I think she's 22 years old, and this is going to set her and her family up for the rest of their lives.
Right,
they're going to be good to go.
That's so good. Oh, I love this good news. Gives me goosebumps. Makes me happy.
Oh, I know. I love my job.
yeah, definitely, definitely. So it was great talking to you, Jack. What's the last thing you want to tell my caregivers?
You know, if it's you or if it's somebody that you know, we know as a caregiver how much responsibility you have to not just yourself and your family, but to other people. We want to take a little bit of that burden off. You know, if you're living in an overcrowded condition, maybe you're paying more than 30% of your income for a home. Reach out to us, let us know, and we will see what we can do and maybe put you in a much better place.
Yeah, because sometimes they're paying a lot of money for a place that's just horrible. That's just horrible.
We see that
because they think they have no other options. So you guys have options out there. Go to the Habitat for Humanity website for Pinellas and Pasco. And if you're in other parts of our listen, well, we're everywhere. Habitat is everywhere, too. So go and find the information. Thanks so much, Jack, for being on. I'm going to put all your information on the website, on the YouTube, on the whole deal. Yeah. And it was a pleasure speaking with you today.
It was an honor. Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks so much. Have a delicious day.
You too.
Bye-bye. Yeah, that's really cool. That is really very cool. All right, now it's time to hear from our wonderful partners, so don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network.
And we're off. Time to get your pen and paper because I got good stuff to tell you. So Thursday, August 27th. Tam Cummings, who's a gerontologist, will be doing a Zoom presentation preparing to move your loved one during COVID-19. I'm sure that is a very serious subject for a lot of people that were thinking, you know, before COVID or during COVID or what to do about that. And she is just a wealth of information. So if you want that information, just message me through the website and I will send you the link to be able to do the Zoom. This past week, we had the sneak peek of You, Me, and Dementia, myself with Maureen Rulison and Brian LeBlanc. That was very well received. Very excited about it. So we're going to start planning some of that in the very near future, where you can ask the person, you can ask Brian, actually, questions about what it's like to live with dementia, and his care partner, Maureen, what it's like to live with someone that with dementia. So I was very, very excited about that. So go to their Facebook page, too. We Are Dementia Strong. And they also do a little chat every Saturday morning at like 10 o'clock. So there's a lot of great information there. Also, once again, I'm going to mention Field of Honor for the veterans with my Kiwanis group in Seminole. If you want that information, just shoot me a message to the website. Also, we're going to start probably next week or the week after, Tips from the Doctor. So Dr. David Schumann will give a minute or two tip every week. If you have any questions about chiropractic or physical therapy, please send it in, and the doc will answer your questions. I know somebody just sent in a question about snoring, so I guess we will talk about that next week when the doc gives me the information, because I'm not the doc. I am just the person that passes on the information.
And I will be happy to hear the information.
Yeah. It's always good. But, you know, we talk about resources and we talk about caregivers not knowing where to go for help. You could start out, just go to my website. So my website is lindaburhans.com or connectingcaregiversradio.com. On there, there's like every show from the beginning, like 3 years of radio shows. There's a year and a half of video Tuesday tips. There's a couple of years of blogs. There are wonderful resources and wonderful companies that I work with, because I don't align myself with just any companies. I make very sure that they're going to do the right thing for my caregivers, because I know my caregivers are vulnerable. And who to trust? I mean, for instance, there are like 300 home health care companies in Pinellas County. How do you know which one to choose? How do you know what's the difference between a home health care company and a registry? Or what's the difference between hiring your friend from down the block to come in and help? A lot of that information is right on my website. And if you go there and you have some questions and you don't have an answer, message me. Message me. And if I know the answer, I'll tell you the answer. And if I don't, believe me, I know somebody that knows the answer and I will find out the answer. Because I think that's the most important thing. You know, when caregivers send in a message and they go, oh, she actually answered me. Well, that's what I'm saying. Send in a message and I'll actually answer you and do anything that I can do to help you in any way. But please, another thing I want to say too is it's been very tough for a lot of caregivers during this time. There's been a lot of decline. One of my caregivers, his mom died this week. They were in my support group for quite a while. I know a lot of it had to do with the decline during COVID. The isolation. So I'm going to say once again is I hate the word social distancing, because we're not social distancing. We're physically distancing. We need to stay as social as possible. I think social distancing makes me feel like I'm putting a gag in my mouth. And you know, for me, that would be death. But really, we're not social distancing. We're just physically distancing. And it's okay to physical distance. Because that's just something that we have to do now. It doesn't stop the world. It doesn't stop our conversations. It doesn't stop our creativity. It doesn't stop us from going out and walking and getting some fresh air. It doesn't stop us from taking a picture. It doesn't stop us from coloring our coloring book or sitting down and read a good book. And now we have Zoom and FaceTime and everything else to be connected. My granddaughter, Skylar, moved to Germany this week. Oh, goodness gracious. Big deal. Big deal. She's not going to be gone forever, and I'm so glad that I could talk to her every day in Germany. through my T-Mobile plan, it doesn't even cost me any more money. But then there's other things. There's an app called WhatsApp where you can talk to people all over the world and it doesn't cost you any money. That's absolutely fabulous. I mean, years ago, something like this would happen. She would be moving to Germany. Maybe I would get to talk to her once a month. Remember on Sundays when we used to have only the house phone on the wall in the kitchen? Or maybe there was one in your parents' bedroom, too. And where everybody called grandma on Sunday afternoon because the rates were cheaper. So different. I don't know. Maybe some grandmas were a little luckier then. They didn't have to hear all the nonsense because sometimes too much connections. You know, my grandchildren text me. They expect an answer in a second. Well, people email me on a Sunday. Sometimes I don't even look at my email on Sunday. I try not to. I really do try to just take a break a little bit. And they're like, I sent you an email yesterday and I didn't hear from you. I said, you know what? My computer needs a day off. She works really hard. So, you know, that every second thing, I will answer you. And usually it's within 24 hours, usually it's in an hour or two, but just be patient. Spend some time with your families. Spend some time just calling up people. We got a family Zoom every Sunday now. It's so cool. Like, whoever can come on, come on. My sisters, my brothers, sometimes a cousin pops in or an aunt pops in. And you get to see everybody. We didn't do that before. We talked to each other, but we never talked to each other like as a group where we could see each other. So, and Zoom is pretty easy because if I can do it, anybody can do it. The Zoom that I did yesterday with Maureen and Brian, you, me, and Dementia, we had the two computers going in two different rooms and did the whole thing. And I was very proud of myself. I have problems with computers many times and all that kind of stuff because of my magnetic personality. Kind of like shorts things out sometimes. So thanks so much, everybody, for tuning in today. You know how much I care about you. You know I'm here to help you in any way I can. Tune in next week. We'll have some fabulous guests. Go to the website, lindaburhans.com, and nominate a caregiver. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
Eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running, oh yeah, baby, to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got a friend. If the sky above you should turn dark and full of clouds, and that old north wind should begin to blow, keep your head together and call my name. Now, soon I'll be knocking upon your door. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. Oh, yes, I will see.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.